How many of you, either your children or you, grew up on Patch the Pirate songs? Either your children or you. Wow, a good many of you. Okay, good. Can you help me sing a little bit of a song? Can you do that? Okay, let's see if you remember this one, all right? Grumble on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Grumble on Thursday, too. Grumble on Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Grumble is all we do. Grumble at Daddy, grumble at Mama, grumble at teacher too. Seems like all we do is grumble, grumble the whole week through. You say, you changed the words. I know, I'm leading. I can do whatever I want with it. Philippians 2 and verse 14 says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Ouch. Let me just say a couple things as we introduce the message this morning. Typically, and this is just before the Lord, typically when I'm preparing a message, I never think of anyone. Now, that's the honest truth. Some of you probably think, he sat in his office and thought about me. Honestly, I don't. There are times during the message I think, oh boy, they probably think I prepared this message for them. But I really don't, okay? That's the truth. As a matter of fact, I cannot remember a time as I'm preparing a message that I had names in mind. That's the truth before the Lord until this week. This week, I thought of specific people. Uh-oh. This is not going to be good for that person because they're a grumbler. You're like, Pastor, you're not supposed to do that. I know there's a point to this. And I'm thinking, boy, that one, okay, well, that was Tuesday. Wednesday, I was putting the final touches on the message, and literally the Holy Spirit punched me about as hard as he could and said, you're a murmurer. What you just did was murmuring. And it was like, you're right. By the way, it doesn't do you a whole lot of good to tell God he's no. You know, you don't know what you're talking about here. Thursday, there was a time on Thursday when the Holy Spirit said, that's murmuring. You're right. Friday, Saturday, you're like, Pastor, you're thick-headed. That's true too. My point is this. We grumble and don't even know it. And as the Holy Spirit has pointed out in my life this week, well, you murmur a lot more than you want to admit. I've entitled the message, The Underclassified Sin. In other words, we put it way under where it's supposed to be. And Lord willing, by the end of the message, you're going to see where God puts it. And you might be shocked. Alexander McLaren says, what God works in us is that which for which we are to yield ourselves to. He has done that without murmuring and disputing, and to cooperate with glad submission and cheerful obedience. John Phillips says, murmuring is one of the dispositional sins that grieve the Holy Spirit so much. It can easily overtake us if we are not careful and become an embittering habit. Grumbling. We must recognize that murmuring and disputing are serious in God's sight. Let's pray together. Father, how I've needed this message this week. Thank you for your convicting work in my life. Lord, it's convicting just reading the verse. Help us as we look through the Word of God to say that which you want us to say, leave out that which does not need to be said. May your Spirit work in hearts. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. First off, I'd like us to look this morning at the doing. It says, do all things without. Number one, that's a command. The Bible says to do. To act rightly, to do well, to carry out or to execute. Whatever you're going to do, God says, I want you to do it without murmuring and complaining. And I'm commanding you to do so. Number two, there's continue. The word is in the present tense. The present tense of the verb here suggests, according to the Bible Knowledge Commentary, that this was to be done all the time, continually. In other words, it's not momentarily that we're to do things without murmuring and disputing, but all things. And that leads us to the completeness, number three. All, without exception. Things, each, every, any, all, the whole, everyone, all things, everything. Got the point? Without. The word literally can mean without any. Another writer says it suggests isolation. So Paul was saying that the believer is to be isolated from murmurings and disputings. You put that together, it's hard to see loopholes here, isn't it? In other words, it's hard to say, well, I think I could do that without, you know, with murmuring and complaining. No, God says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. Are you willing to be obedient in this area? Are you willing to identify it? Now, I'm going to tell you what you're going to do. And I know this from personal experience. You're going to excuse. Well, I'm actually not murmuring there. I'm just stating facts in a negative way. But I'm just stating facts. I mean, I can't help it. She really is ugly. I can't help it that the weather really is bad. I'm just stating the fact. The devil would love to keep us with a murmuring spirit about us. And it's a serious business. Now, let's look at that. Number two, let's look at the dissatisfaction. Do all things without murmurings. I want us to see, number one here, the sense of murmuring. What does this really mean? The word murmurings means a murmuring or a muttering. It's a secret debate. A secret displeasure not openly avowed. So here's the idea. This was something that really struck me this week. This is not something that you necessarily have to say outwardly. And though certainly there are times when I murmur outwardly, most of mine that the Spirit of God's convicted me about this week has been internal. In my spirit. That's the idea. You're either smiling because you know, or you're frowning because you know. Either one, right? You're like, well, you got us either way. I know. The word murmur, which is the root word of murmurings, means to murmur or to mutter or to grumble or to say anything against in a low tone of those who confer secretly together, of those who discontentedly complain. In other words, it doesn't have to be an audible sound to be murmuring. It means that which I do within my spirit. Number two, the source of murmuring. Where do I get murmuring from? Now, I understand this is somewhat of an excuse, but let me just show you from Scripture, as this word is used in the Word of God, some areas in which there's a temptation. Number one, it can come when you don't understand. John chapter 7 and verse 12. And there was much murmuring among the people concerning him, for some said, he is a good man, and others said, nay, but he deceiveth the people. So there was something about Jesus that they didn't understand, and because of that, they're murmuring together about it. You ever have something you don't understand? But why now? Lord, we hadn't had rain in 3 weeks, and today I'm having a picnic. Why'd you have to let it rain today? Pastor, I'm just stating a fact. It's raining today. Okay, you can stand before him and use that excuse if you want to. There will always be things we do not understand. Always. If God could fully explain everything to you, you would be God. So the question is, will you trust God? Does God know what he's doing, or does he not know what he's doing? Number two, it can come when your perceived needs are not met. Acts chapter 6 and verse 1. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Now, there was a neglect there, and eventually the deacons were established to help solve that problem. But the point is, they're murmuring because their perceived needs were not being met. Just because you think it's a need doesn't mean that God does. Anybody ever have a need, a quote-unquote need, that you were convinced was a need, and God didn't meet it? You got two options. God failed, or you were wrong. Let me give you a little hint. Let God be true and every man a liar. So, just telling you. There are a lot of things that we believe are needs, but it doesn't mean that God sees those that way. So again, it goes back to, will you trust Him? Number three, it can come with wrong motives. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 9. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. There's our word, murmur. You ever heard someone do something for some people, but they gripe about it the whole time they're doing it? The motive behind what we're doing. Why do you do what you do? Because I have to. Wonderful. Great is your reward in heaven. Probably not. Number four. It can come from the people you hang around. John 6 and verse 43, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, murmur ye not among yourselves. Jesus saying to them, hey, what are you doing? Why are you complaining to each other? Will Bowen says this, complaining is like bad breath. You notice it when it comes out of somebody else's mouth, but not your own. Are your friends encouragers or complainers? You'll be influenced. Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Whoever you hang around, that's what you're going to be doing. You hang around those that are encouraging, you're going to be an encourager. You hang around people who are griping and complaining all the time, that's what you're going to be. Number five. Ultimately, all murmuring is against God. That's a powerful truth when you really get down to it. Alexander McLaren says, the murmurings are not against men, but against God. Numbers 21 and verse 5, and the people spake against Moses and against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and my soul loatheth this light bread. Do you see even the illogical thing there? They're like, there's no bread. And not only that, but we hate this light bread. I thought you said there was no bread. In other words, there's no bread you want. There's something to eat that you don't want to eat. We don't have anything to eat in this house. Nothing to eat in the house or nothing you want to eat in the house. Exodus 16, 7 and 8. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that you murmur against us? And Moses said, this shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat and in the morning bread to the full, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which you murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. Again, it goes back to either God knows what he's doing or he doesn't. Your hair color, your size, your body type, your brain, your fill in the blank. When you complain about that, you are basically saying, God, you did not know what you were doing. Either God made you for exactly what he intended for you to be, or he didn't. I just wished I was 2 inches taller. Well, why? Well, then I could do. You ever thought God didn't want you to do? Well, maybe I could just be. Well, you just fill in the blank. Whatever it is, it ultimately goes back to God. Well, I wish I had somebody else's parents. Well, who gave you your parents? God did that. Well, should have been born in another time period. It doesn't matter. You come up with anything you want to, and it goes back to God. So how's your murmuring this morning? The sense of murmuring, the source of murmuring. But number three, the seriousness of murmuring. How does God view murmuring? These are some staggering things as we look at the Word of God. And we're going to do some turning here just quickly. But I also see, first off, the punishment of murmuring. The punishment of murmuring. Take with me, if you would, to your Bibles, to Numbers chapter number 11. Numbers chapter number 11. We're not going to read every one of these stories, but we'll get a good sense of them. Numbers chapter number 11 and verse 1. When the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And the Lord heard it, and his anger was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them and consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Okay, so the sin, what was the sin? You can talk to me this morning. What was the sin? Murmuring or complaining. What was the punishment? Death. Death. How many died? I don't know. It doesn't tell us in this, but apparently quite a few. Look at Numbers chapter 14 and verse 26. Numbers chapter 14 and verse 26. The Lord spake unto Moses and to Aaron, saying, how long shall I bear with this evil congregation? Notice what God calls them, an evil congregation, which murmur against me. I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel, which they murmur against me. Saying to them, as truly as I live, saith the Lord, as ye have spoken in mine ears, so will I do to you. Your carcasses shall fall in this wilderness, and all that were numbered of you according to your whole number, from 20 years old and upward, because which ye have murmured against me. Doubtless ye shall not come into the land. The sin was what? Murmuring. And the result was death. How many? A million? Million and a half. Most people believe 2 to 3 million came out of Egypt. Everyone 20 and above didn't go in except for Joshua and Caleb. That's a lot of people. Look at chapter 16 and verse 11. It says, for which cause both thou and all thy company are gathered together against the Lord. And what is Aaron that ye murmur against him? Moses went to call Dathan and Abiram and the sons of Eliab. You know this story. They're murmuring. That's the sin again. What's the result? Result is death. Fire comes out and devours some of them. And the earth cleaves open and swallows the rest of them. Okay, look at verse 41. But on the morrow, so the day after this happened, all the congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron, saying, ye have killed the people of the Lord. What was the sin? You sound like it. Murmuring. Sin was murmuring. Okay, what happens now? Notice what it says in verse 48. And he stood between the dead and the living, and the plague was stayed. Now they that died in the plague were 14,700. Penalty? Get the idea? In other words, the way God views murmuring is it's punishable by death. That makes this pretty serious. Pretty serious indeed. He killed entire people groups because of it. And in fact, you can go back and add up And I believe you'll find that more people died over the sin of murmuring in the Old Testament than any other single act. Pretty serious. The punishment of murmuring. Number two, let's look at the partners of murmuring. This was pretty shocking this week, honestly. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. 1 Corinthians chapter number 10. To begin with, let's read verses 10 and 11, and then we'll go back and get the context. 1 Corinthians 10, 10 and 11. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now, all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. So God says, hey, listen, I did this for you. I want you to understand some things. By the way, he says the same thing in verse 6 of this chapter. Now, these things were our examples to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. So who are the partners? Who does God clump together with murmurers? Let's look at them. Number one, I want us to see idolatry. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 7. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. God is referring to Exodus chapter 32 and verse 6. And they rose up early on the morrow and offered burnt offerings and brought peace offerings. And the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Not just play a game. This was a wicked debauchery. 3,000 people died in that incident. So the partner of complaining, idolatry. Number two, the partner of complaining, immorality. Verse 8. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. This is a reference to Numbers chapter 25 and verse 1. And Israel abode in Shittim, and the people began to commit whoredom with the daughters of Moab. 23,000 plus people die in that incident. So, idolatry, immorality. Number three, interrogation. The Bible says in verse 9, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of the serpents. The word tempt there means to prove, to test thoroughly, to put to proof God's character and power. That's a serious charge. How dare we challenge God? But they paid for it. Numbers chapter 21. Verses 4 and 5. Let's turn with that real quick here. Numbers chapter 21. I know we're turning back and forth here, but Numbers chapter number 21. Verses 4 through 9. And they journeyed from Mount Hor by the way of the Red Sea to compass the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. And the people spake against God and against Moses, wherefore have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any bread, and our soul loatheth this light bread. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. How did they tempt the Lord? Murmuring. Then verse 10 of this text says, neither murmur ye as some of them murmured. The truth is, we would not place the sin of murmuring on the same level of idolatry, immorality, and getting in God's face. It would be underclassified. That's why I titled the message. It'd be way down the pole. It's not near as bad as those things. I mean, come on. Look at the book of Jude. The book of Jude. Verse 14. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints. Here's what he's going to do. To execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are, notice how many times he uses this word, ungodly among them, of all of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. Four times he uses the word ungodly. We would think then that he would open up some heinous sin to describe it that way. Next verse. These are murmurers and complainers, walking after their own lust and their mouth speaking great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. This is the irreligious. Number four, the irreligious. The murmur, same root word that we've talked before, to murmur, one who discontentedly complains against God. Complainers, the complaining of one's lot, quarrelsome or discontented. It seems odd to us that God would group this sin in with these others. So many of us would never commit immorality. We would never bow to an idol. We would not get in God's face and challenge him for his power. We would never have said of us that we were ungodly four different times. But we complain every day. I cannot believe they left the door open again. Really? They put an empty milk carton in the refrigerator? Couldn't they see the trash bubbling up all over the floor? We say it all the time. Is that as much of conviction as it was and is to me, to you? Man, we are constantly murmuring. Matter of fact, we've murmured so much that it's just a part of our repertoire. What's the solution? And I'm hurrying. What's the solution? The Bible says, be content. Be content. Philippians 4 and verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of all, for I've learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. Is that referring to the state of North Carolina? Partially. You're like, Pastor, that really doesn't mean the state of North Carolina. Yes, it does. Not the state of North Carolina, but you're here. This is where God puts you, and you're supposed to be content here. I don't want to be here. Stop your murmuring. That's what it is. God says, I've placed you here. And if I've placed you here, then I know what's best. The word content here means contented with one's lot and with one's means, though the slenderest. In other words, even though I just have a little bit, I'm content. 1 Timothy 6 and verse 8, and having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Content. To be possessed of unfailing strength, to be strong, to be satisfied. But you don't understand. Only have a little bit. God says be content. The truth is, most of us have an abundance. Hebrews 13 and verse 5, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have, for he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. If you didn't need any other verse, God says, can I tell you why you ought to be content? You have me. You have me. God is our all in all. Again, either he is or he isn't. But I want that over God. Do you want that if God doesn't want you to have it? Why be content? Because God is with us. What more do we need? This is a convicting passage of Scripture. Do all things without murmurings and disputing. So number one, we see the do. Do all things. We see the dissatisfaction, the murmuring. Let's look at number three, the disputing. What does this mean, the meaning of it? Disputing simply means a deliberating, a questioning about what that is true. A disputing or an arguing. It's someone that's contentious. By the way, you notice how many times this word is connected with the others in some of the other murmuring passages we've dealt with. Because part of this disputing is, I believe I know what's best. I'm not satisfied with what God knows. I think I know what's best. I'm not satisfied with what the authority says. I think I know what's best. That's the disputing attitude. Well, number two, the manner of it. How should we do this? I think in the passage of Scripture where we see this word repeated, we see a couple things. Number one, for people's sake. For people's sake. Matter of fact, we don't have time this morning, and I know we were only getting a part of a sentence, so you'll have to bear with me as we hopefully pick up the rest of the sentence the next time God allows us to preach from here. But it says, do all things without murmuring and disputings. That, here's the reason why you shouldn't do all things, that you should do all things without murmuring and disputings. That you be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. God's saying, the reason I don't want you to fight and the reason I don't want you to complain is because you're supposed to be a testimony. And who wants what a murmurer's got? That's what he's saying. Who would want a God that you gripe about all the time? Who would want that? God said, the reason that I don't want you to do this is because you need to be blameless and harmless. Verse 16, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. We got a testimony. That's why we can't do this. And you say, well, I don't let anybody know it. Well, number one, God knows it. And number two, as a man thinketh in his heart, you're a murmur in your heart. Guess what happens? It comes out. It comes out. Romans chapter 14 and verse 1, him that is weak in the faith receive you, but not to doubtful disputations. We have people out there that's listening to us. James 2 and verse 4, are you not then partial in yourselves and are become judges of evil thoughts? These Greek words, and I don't have time to go into all that, are used in these texts of Scripture. Part of this disputing is the fact that we place ourselves on a pedestal and everybody else is below us. And when they come into churches, we treat them that way. But not only for the people's sake, but for prayer's sake. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. That's the word disputing's here. Is the way we act turning people off to the gospel? I've heard some people murmur and complain about certain restaurants. Do you know what? It doesn't make me want to go there. Like, man, I got the most horrible food you can imagine. I was sick for a week. And I'm thinking, you know, I think that's where I want to go on Sunday. We don't think that way, do we? Oh, it's the people who go, oh, that was the best food I've ever had in my life. Now, I know a lot of you like cookout. But I'm telling you, you could not pay my wife and I to go eat at cookout. We had a really bad experience the first time we went there. Called corporate office. They sent us two free meals. Free. Good stuff. You know, we'll go fry them. Went to a different cookout for the free meals. It was so bad we didn't finish it. It was horrid. Now, I've had people say, you're kidding me, Pat. That is one of the best places in the world to eat. Sorry. I'm probably not going to go back there. Why? Because what happens with us? Do you think people want to come on Sunday morning when you gripe all week long? Well, that stupid church of mine, they don't have very friendly to visitors. And not only that, but that person didn't even shake my hand when he came in this morning. And you know what? I went, hey, would you like to come to church with me? And the lost person's going to go, sure, I would love to come be treated like you're treated. I mean, you say, well, Pastor, I would never complain to a lost man. I mean, I'm much more spiritual than that. I would complain against God, but I wouldn't complain against a lost man. I mean, come on, I have my morals. I said to you, this has been incredibly convicting to me this week. And I pray I won't forget it. I pray the Holy Spirit continues to remind me. Hey, what are you doing? I'm complaining. That's what I'm doing. I'm sorry, Lord. That's wrong. Out west, a cowboy was driving down a dirt road. His dog riding in the back of the pickup truck and his faithful horse in the trailer behind him. And he failed to negotiate a curve and had a terrible accident. Sometime later, a highway patrol officer came on the scene, and being an animal lover, he saw the horse first. Realizing the serious nature of his injuries, he drew his service revolver and put the animal out of his misery. He walked around the accident and found the dog, also hurt critically. He couldn't bear to hear it whine in pain, so he ended the dog's suffering as well. Finally, he located the cowboy who had suffered multiple fractures off in the weeds. Hey, are you okay? The cop asked. Cowboy took one look at the smoking revolver in the trooper's hand and quickly replied, "Never felt better." Perspective changes things, doesn't it? You know, it is truthful that when we look around us, sometimes we think we have a right to complain. The statement by the man who says, "I complained that I had no shoes till I met the man who had no feet." Whatever you think is a legitimate complaint, whatever legitimate murmur you think you have, take it to the Lord. Just see what he says about it. Place it beside him. Somebody treated you unfairly? Place it beside the way he was treated on the cross. Relationships have turned on you? Place it beside Judas. Unconditional love was provided and people stabbed you in the back? We could go on and on, couldn't we? The fact is, God is in complete control. Are there days that I wished we had a sunshiny day for a picnic instead of it pouring down rain? There are. But guess who's in control of the weather? Not Mother Nature. God is. God could have just as well held off that rain. So for some reason or another, he didn't want me to have a picnic. Isn't that the truth of the matter? Got to stop our complaining. Why? Because God told us to. Plain and simple. He told us to. And he places it, if you will, way up there with, in our minds, sins that are horrid. We wouldn't think of them that way, but God places them there. Father, I am grateful that this week you worked me over on this. Wow. I'm more of a murmurer than I want to admit. Lord, would you help our dear people now to respond to your command? It's what you've told us. It's not always easy. Lord, I'm asking you here to continue to remind me when I have a complaining spirit. I need that. When I murmur, even just in my musings inside, help me, Lord, to not be that way. Heads bowed and eyes closed. Can I ask you, has God convicted your heart about murmuring or disputing? Say, "Pastor, the truth is, I'm more of a murmurer than I want to admit. And God's really worked in my heart this morning." Just slip up your hand. I'm more of a murmurer than I want to admit. Good, all over the building. Thank you. Thank you. Would you let God speak to your heart? Would you ask him, "Lord, would you remind me of these things?" Just, Lord, as soon as it happens, would you point it out to me? Now, I want to tell you, it's going to happen. But immediately confess it. I want you to quietly stand to your feet, heads bowed and eyes closed. Alyssa's going to begin to play. If God's spoken to your heart, would you just come and kneel here? and say, God, I've been a complainer, been a murmurer. I don't want to be that way. Say, can I do it in my seat? You could. I'd sure love for you to just say, God, I need this. I need the accountability of knowing that this is, I need the change of this. I'm not going to be a murmurer and a complainer anymore. And would you help me to be reminded of that truth?